I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to EP Yoga. I think we've got a very interesting show for you again this evening. We're going to be talking about signs on the spiritual path, also some specific techniques, and information from Bashar concerning the fundamentals linking us with preparation for contact with extraterrestrials. However, before we get into the part of the matter for tonight's show, I would like to just give some background information for those who are new to the show tonight with respect to EP Yoga, what's been happening over the last month or so, and also later in the show we're going to give our perspective on some of the things, at least our take on 2012. So I hope some of those topics are of interest to you. First of all, I would just like to thank all the people who emailed me with respect to the piece we did a while back on Earth history. Now, I appreciate for the odd person out there that it was quite a lengthy presentation, but it was one that I felt was very important, especially for those people who haven't been exposed to that type of information before. And the reason I thought it was very important was because there obviously are two issues that need to be resolved on this planet. And one is why we're here, and second, where we came from. And clearly the people that are attuned to ET Yoga, I'm sure, are already on the spiritual path, or they wouldn't be taking their time out on Friday evenings to listen to ET Yoga. But many people have not were not tuned into Sal Rochelle and his channelings with respect to the true Earth history as information came through from the founders. So that was one of the shows that we did about a month ago. And if you missed that, and Sal Rochelle, it's S-A-L-R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E. And I always find that information by looking up healing timelines on my Google, and then it connects me to Sal Rochelle. Further to that, with respect to why ET Yoga kind of came about, the show ET Yoga basically came about because I felt there was a need to get information out specifically in two areas, one about self-empowerment and second concerning strengthening the immunity system. And why did I feel that there was such a need in this area? Well, in my own experiences, I guess what I saw was people had bits and pieces of information, but it was never really put into some sort of an integral whole. And so what I did was I created a website called Healing the Known and the Unknown. When I came across the link between self-empowerment and healing. Now, this is the unique aspect, I think, in terms of information on the ET Yoga show. To my knowledge, I've never seen this connection really focused on in any place else. And that's the link between self-empowerment and healing. So when you get to a certain point in your own self-development, it also crosses over into the healing area. And many of the shows that we've presented in the past try to focus on this these subjects, although not always making the connection. Now, I know that over the last 3 weeks, for those who have been with ET Yoga from the very start, We used to be on Thursday evenings every other night, and now we're on Friday evenings every night. And the last three shows were basically popular demand that we did some reruns of the other shows, and also I was in the process of relocating to Europe, and this show's coming to you from Eastern Europe. So if the sound isn't quite perfect like it usually is, it's probably not your radio or your computer, but a slight difference of frequency, I guess, in the mid-range, but hopefully that coming through clear enough, and you're able to get the information for tonight's show. I'd also like to mention that for those especially who are new to the show, that my personal connections are with the ancient yogis, like Sri Ramana Maharshi, like the well-known Paramahansa Yogananda. I took a couple of years of training from the Self-Realization Fellowship in Los Angeles, California, and also from Sri Swami Satchidananda, who passed on in 2002, but those two individuals, to my mind, made the most significant impact in North America with respect to yoga and yoga traditions. And since that time, and concurrently, I had been studying as much channeled extraterrestrial information as I could find. Now, my opinion is that, like any other subject, there's information to be sifted and sorted, and not all channeled information is accurate, and some of it more or less accurate than others. And like every other subject, everyone needs to utilize their own discernment with respect to sifting out the truth for them. However, I find the information from, especially from Pleiadian, Arcturian, Syrian, and Esistani sources to be highly informative, expanding upon the yogic knowledge, and specifically in two general areas. Number one, in almost all the ancient yogic traditions, there was the discussion of the seven chakras. And most people are aware now about chakras, and actually I understand that it's actually been proven in the last year or so that the chakras do exist. Prior to that, it had been more of a hypothetical teaching. And also, in respect to specifically Bashar and the information coming from Bashar, that's B-A-S-H-A-R, and his information can be connected with at Bashar.org. And Bashar's teachings to me just set the mental perspective and goes into depth with how specifically we function at the 3D level, how our personalities were created, how our beliefs, definitions, and thoughts create our outer reflection, and expanding upon those ideas in ways that I've never seen any place else. And I know that a lot of his teachings have filtered down through people like Abraham Hicks and Marilyn the Magician at the Creative Camelot Club, and in many other ways. In fact, the most current wave that's sort of hitting the population with respect to The Secret and all the self-coaches or self-help coaches that are out there today that are utilizing this law of attraction, to my mind, all came from Bashar, because this information, frankly, is not new, the information on The Secret. Bashar was teaching this information 25 years ago. And so the people who were really clued into Bashar at that time, this is kind of old hat, but it may be old hat or not. It's still mastering that material is still an amazing thing. And just because people heard it 25 years ago doesn't mean that they've mastered the information. So the extraterrestrial impact, in my view, has been just phenomenal and totally enhances all yogic teachings. And one of the reasons that ET Yoga came about was the name ET Yoga, because it's a combination of yoga and extraterrestrial information. And from time to time, yes, I do quote specific channelings. And this evening, I would like to actually get into some signposts along the way with respect to a spiritual journey. And some of you out there, I'm sure, can relate your own personal experiences to some of this information. And where I'd like to start first is actually the motivation for wanting to go on a spiritual journey and how that sort of generally gets drawn to people. Now, back in about 1970 or so, Baba Ram Das, author of Be Here Now, Now Be Here, and several other books. In fact, I think his latest one is Still Here. And Baba Ram Das used to say that the falling away of worldliness and your own personal sincerity draws you to information that you need. And he used to say that when the student was ready, the teacher would appear. And this can generally be labeled as the planting of the seed. Now, in religious circles, this would be analogous to a baptism. Only in spiritual terms, the planting of the seed means when a person realizes that there is a higher self or a higher awareness and that they have the capacity to become one with that. And that generally happens through some sort of personal experience. It could be through childbirth. It could be through an emotional situation. It could be through meditation. And in point of fact, a lot of the times it happens with on drugs, that a certain percentage of people taking certain types of artificial substances have, in fact, come back with the spiritual memory of these experiences and realize that the truth in the statement that, yes, there is a higher self, and yes, the capacity to become one with that becomes sort of a focal point of their lives and a spiritual quest. Now, in the life of Ramana Maharshi, the first time he may have this experience of cosmic awareness or cosmic consciousness or God experience, he stayed there. And probably his experience is fairly unique in history. And for most of us, we have the experience, and then come back, and we're sort of at a level of awareness where we started out, but with the retaining the memory. And Sri Swami Satchidananda used to say, as many minds, as many gods. Because what we do is like taking a cup to the ocean. We take a vessel, like our mind, to the ocean, and the ocean takes the shape of the cup. So when we try to translate this in physical language, each of our experiences are different, but we can be talking about the same thing. In fact, I know one of Satchidananda's famous lines is that philosophy, or true philosophy, is that which neither the speaker nor the listener truly understands, because it's only something that can be experienced. And thus, all the talk about spirituality and techniques and which way is higher, which mantras are better, et cetera, all become sort of in the secondary to the main principle. And also, I think the experience of Sri Ramana Maharshi also outlines to us exactly the fact that there are no prerequisites on the spiritual journey. In other words, it's not like everybody has to follow the same formula to get to the end point. Each individual has their own path, issues to learn, reasons why they're here, issues to work through, etc. Although there are some general guidelines that typically everyone deals with in one way or another, and we're going to expand upon some of those this evening. One of the things that in my own journey that came up was keeping your peace. And Swami Satchidananda was very, very emphatic about keeping your peace. And I guess every time in history has it sort of the best of times, the worst of times. And based on what's happening in the world today, keeping your peace is still as paramount in terms of importance as it ever has been. One of the things that Swamiji used to say was that if you lose your peace, then you're not able to assist and help others, because if they've lost theirs, you can be the calming influence and making proper decisions and having a proper perspective. And keeping a flame that doesn't flicker or blows out is important in your day-to-day activities. And that links into the whole concept of anger. And I know in a long, long time ago, I used to keep a notebook on whenever I used to feel anger. And I remember I was initially very shocked at at how often it came up. I never thought it came up that often, but when I kept the diary of it, it became more and more obvious. And I know in the Baba Ram Das teachings, he talks about developing the witness, and I think that's very important, because when we are lost in thought or lost in anger, we actually become that, and we lose our focus or our perspective. Even logically, we can appreciate that if we're aware of our thoughts or aware of our anger, then we're not the anger. And keeping this awareness is paramount in terms of learning to deal with it. And it's not a question of suppressing anger, but learning to have a perspective on it. And Swami Satchidananda would say that the only real proper use for anger is as a tool to clear up an injustice, and even then to put it away quickly as a tool, because certainly anger spirals into negative synchronicities, and the situation actually gets worse and worse. So one of the things that certainly became important was to, I think that everybody on a spiritual journey needs to take a real strong look at any anger issues in their life. Another thing that anger is a complete suck on emotional energy. I mean, you can lose all the energy you need for personal awareness in about a 5-10 minute fit of anger. So, again, if you're working on a spiritual journey, it's one of those key things that you need to pay attention to. Another one that I guess most people are struggle with is making your work a joy. And maybe that could be backed up to the point of why are you doing the work you are doing? Because if it was your joy or your passion, you probably feel that it is a joy. And sometimes people take jobs because of economic necessity and end up keeping those jobs for a long time when it wasn't really their passion, wasn't really their joy. And I know one of the things I've always wished for my own kids as well as students is to pass on the idea that it's very, very important at some point to be involved with your passion and your joy. And as Bashar would say, it aligns you with your higher self, because the key to alignment with your higher self is your passion and your joy. And when people work at jobs that they don't enjoy, or there's lots of tension and struggle, it's certainly a big drain upon the nervous system and the general health, as well as their spirituality. So one of the areas I think that becomes common, and it's known as karma yoga, is to do the service at your work for the sake of the service, and not be overly focused on the expectations or rewards. And, of course, one of the ideas that would come to mind if you're doing your joy is that time flies. When you do what you love, time flies. And actually, according to Bashar, you don't even age during that time. Quite an important feature of spirituality that you spend so much time in the workplace, most of us do at least, that you need to be able to turn that into a positive experience. And another issue there would be that a lot of people think that they can't really do their passion or their joy because they can't make money at it, and thus they kind of give up and sacrifice that area. Now, my own personal experience, I believe, and what I've seen in others, is that that everyone has a gift to share with humanity, and that gift is in the area of your passion or joy. And if you never get around to doing it, then we all lose, because we don't get to experience that particular talent and gift that each of us has to share and to offer. And one of the ways you can do that, for example, is if you're a gardener and you don't think that you can make a living gardening, at least get a garden started and do it as much as you can. Do it an hour a day. In fact, Bashar would say, and I know that some of the programs out there like Anthony Robbins would say, do something in the area of your joy or passion every day, even if it's a little thing, and do it for 30 days in a row and then see where that takes you. And I guess I would put that out there as a challenge, especially to people that feel they don't have the money to get started doing their passion or joy, do something in that area. If it's read a book, talk to a person, get involved in a group, but to totally give up on being involved in that area, I think is not the best choice available. So if that is helpful in some way, try to get involved with your love and your passion and your joy. The other thing that is interesting with respect to following your peace and following your joy is that it would also increase your capacity to heal. And I'd like to say, too, in that respect, that we are all responsible for our lives. And one of the big issues that many people are facing right now is this issue of victimhood. And if you want to know if you're in a state of victimhood, here's the three key emotions: blame, complaint, and justification. Anytime you find yourself or others blaming someone else for your situation, know that you're coming from a place of victimhood. Same with complaining, same with justifying why you're in the situation. And it's a very tough cycle to break. And the key to breaking that cycle is to take 100% responsibility for your own life. Because once you do that, it just frees you up from all the excess baggage of blaming other people and creating yourself as a victim over and over and over again. So, and this, to me, is more of a new age idea. And many people, I think they get to the point where they take all credit for the good things that they see in their lives, but not for the problems. And unfortunately, this is a big mistake. And we need to take 100% responsibility for everything that's occurring, because our own thoughts, beliefs, and definitions create our outer experience. And this is the big key message that comes from Bashar. It comes from the Pleiadians. It comes from Arcturians. It comes from Syrians. I mean, to me, this is one of the big messages from the ETs that we can all benefit from, is that thought creates. It's the big thing. In fact, we're going to give some more in-depth ideas about that when we get to the topic of 2012, which will be coming up in a few minutes. And in addition to the concept that thought creates, in addition to taking 100% responsibility for our lives, I think the other key content of the Bashar information is that not only do we create our own outer reflection, but we also create the emotional spin on it. And I've never seen this in any psychological textbook or anything else other than from Bashar. And I've never seen any other teacher bring this up either. But the fact is that all outer circumstances are neutral. In other words, they don't come with built-in meaning. We tend to have this idea that outer circumstances come with built-in meaning, because our friends think that this event happened, this is negative, or this is bad, oh, that's too bad, and this is too bad, and, you know, and poor this person and poor that person. But the fact of the matter is, and, you know, I've been challenging people on ET Yoga ever since the inception of the show to try the simple Bashar technique. And the formula is positive definition in, positive experience out, negative definition in, negative experience out. That's a simple formula. So if you have something going on that's negative, or you think is negative, even if there's no possible way you can see a good outcome of this, throw a positive spin on it anyway, and then keep track of how it turns out. And I really challenge people to do this, because I think you'll just be amazed at how some of these negative, or actually all of them, turn into positive experiences if there's a legitimate positive emotional spin put on the situation. And if you spend some time thinking about this, it only makes sense to throw positive spins on everything. There is no percentage in throwing a negative emotional spin on any outer circumstance. There is no possible positive in it. It's only a negative. I call this, actually this technique, my own terminology when I talk to other people and they ask me about it. I see it's like stacking the deck of cards of life in your favor, so that no matter what the circumstance, it's always positive. And it worked. I mean, I challenge it. I just challenge people to try it. In fact, years and years ago, I used to do tarot readings. I still do I Ching and stuff like that, not for other people so much, but for my own personal tuning into a certain abstract situation. And one of the things that I've changed over the years is that sometimes I used to look at cards and think, oh, gee, this is kind of negative. And now every time I throw an I Ching or a tarot, I just throw a positive spin on it because it's all good. It's all going to help you to learn. And it's a technique that I just thank Bashar for because it's just amazingly true. And now moving on to the emotional state. Now, I guess to me, a real guru, Yogananda, to me, he was the king of Bhakti Yoga or the yoga of love and compassion. And as it turns out, love, compassion, and gratitude, they've done studies with AIDS patients, and when they are emitting these emotions of love, compassion, and gratitude, their immune systems actually boost. And I've heard the number of 300,000 times. I know it sounds incredible, but the fact is that when you start getting involved with self-empowerment and you get involved with healing, what you realize is that all disease comes from dysfunctional emotions. And a lot of people have tuned into this. I mean, we know that emotions are important, but they're more than important when it comes to your physical health. That our outer experience is a reflection of our inner being. And when we have dysfunctional emotion or negative emotion, this eventually plays out in the physical condition. And knowing that is a key to fixing that. And Bashar goes into great detail with respect to reprogramming our belief systems, because all of us downloaded for the first 6-7 years of our life, downloaded beliefs and definitions from our initial caregivers. And as a result of becoming a mature adult, you need to sift and sort out the beliefs and definitions and ideas that you think are positive and useful to you now. And the idea is to thank your parents or your caregivers for their passing on of that information and taking the good and leaving the rest aside. And when you're leaving the rest aside, you need to reprogram those positive beliefs that you wish to reinstitute in your life. And Bashar goes into lots of little techniques and little problems that occur when we do this. And I don't pretend in this particular show to go into a lot of those little techniques, but you can find them in the Bashar information, because much of it is about self-empowerment. And clearly, Bashar presents himself as an extraterrestrial that Daryl Anka channels. Now, you can believe that he's extraterrestrial or not believe it. It doesn't matter. And Daryl doesn't try to force it on anyone, and neither does Bashar when he comes through, because it isn't the focus of their intent. The focus of their intent is to provide us with information, and provide us with information that helps with our own self-empowerment. So whether you believe it or not doesn't really matter. The point is, you take the information, and is it good or is it not? And if you can use it, go on. And like Daryl was saying, if you can't get the information from them, you'll get it from someplace else when you need it. So there's no tension involved with that particular idea. And when he's going into the idea of reprogramming our belief systems, I think one of the most powerful techniques that's ever been presented on this planet, and eventually this will come out, came out about 2 or 3 months ago. And Bashar even mentioned that this information, he needed to have some special blessing from some higher-ups with respect to bringing this information to Earth at this time, and it was called transformation of core beliefs. And there's a technique there that's used, some diagrams, and a meditative technique with a jagged spiral, and Bashar goes into teaching how to really open up your core beliefs, and at the end of, he says, between about a 90-day period, you will find that so many positive synchronicities and amazing things start happening in your life that the amazing synchronicities become the norm. And I can testify to that. I did the techniques for about 110 days, and it truly is the most powerful technique that I've ever used, and I would highly recommend that for those who are really looking make some really advanced progress in a hurry that's very tangible and provable. And speaking of tangible and provable, I know there are a lot of people that have always been very skeptical of the fact that a bot creates and how it affects our environment. And one of the things that has come up recently was the discoveries by Dr. Masaru Emoto, and he's got a book out called The Power of Water. Now, even the Syrians, they go into great detail. That's Patricia Corey's in her book, No More Secrets, No More Lies, talks about water as being a perfect reflection of consciousness. And this is the work that Dr. Emoto has proven, is that the actual molecular structure of water changes based on the emotional intent put into the water. And they've had monks go to streams and waterfalls and done a 1 or 2 hour meditations there and actually changed the molecular structure of water. We can change it in our homes. When we change the molecular structure of the water, it actually has more of a beneficial impact on our bodies and on our abilities to heal. And this is just amazing information because water is everywhere. And the interesting part about it, it's totally provable. You can go on your internet, look up Dr. Masaru Emoto, and there's probably about 20 websites that concerning the subject, but one of them in particular actually shows pictures of the molecular structure of water. And it's just amazing to see how negative emotions have this really ugly structure to them, and how when you have positive love and compassion and emotion going into the water, you get these beautiful crystals that are so perfect, and it's just so obviously provable. And anybody who can look at that website and look at the molecular changes in the water based on the emotional influences on the water and come away with that doesn't think that thought creates, well, there's just no helping them. You just point them in the direction, and they can use what they can use. But clearly, that's a beauty. I'd like to now go on for a moment to talk about 2012, because I know it's a topic on everybody's minds in the new age. We're all aware that something's going on. There's all these physical changes in the solar system, in the sun, and planets, and clearly the time frames that we experience, and lots of speculation, some of the doom and gloom and whatever. And I guess because I've never touched this topic on yoga, I thought I'd touch on it a little bit this evening. I confess that I don't have any specific provable information concerning that date or time. Although I guess you have, everyone has their own intuitive gut feeling about what it's kind of about. I think that the situation, frankly, is changing on a day-to-day basis as more and more people become more positive. And I think that as individuals, we create our outer circumstance as groups and nations. Yes, we all collectively create our outer circumstances on a world scale. And that everyone living on the planet, thoughts, feelings, emotions, definitions, do create scenarios that are reflected in our outer circumstances. Now, going back to the teachings of putting a positive spin on situations, I think there are no negative situations in a higher perspective. I mean, I know it's hard to tell someone who's been involved with a flood or a disaster that wasn't a negative experience, but again, the only thing you can do in those situations is do the best you can, put a positive spin on it. And what we'll see, I believe, in the long run is kind of like the AIDS situation, which created children who were totally immune from disease. Now, if you haven't heard about that, I would suggest that you do some research. And we did a piece on this a while back on ET Yoga about some of the children of AIDS who had four codons in their DNA operating that the rest of humanity didn't, and how that there are thousands and thousands now of children that are totally immune from disease, although it's not being publicized. And I think that what's happening today with respect to some of the upcoming events that we'll experience between now and 2012 will be of a similar type nature, that something very beautiful and wonderful will come from all of this. And I guess my inner meditations tend to give me a picture almost like in quantum physics of energy that reaches a point where all possible manifestations are not possible in that given energy, and the energy splits. And when the energy splits, new possible creations are forthcoming. And I personally anticipate that there may be three or four or five different Earth scenarios coming up, that there will be a split, and that will each be slotted into the Earth scenario that suits our spiritual growth at that time. In addition to that, I think that many of us have seen that there may be some, what some people would call negative experiences, like economic collapse, wars. We're already seeing, a number of people involved with some weird diseases and plagues, etc. And I guess my own take on the positive side of the 2012 is very similar to David Wilcock, who is at the Divine Cosmos. I really appreciate his perspectives on 2012. And if you haven't checked out David Wilcock, who is reported to be the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and if you haven't tuned into some of his material, I would highly recommend that. I guess I'm a little less positive than David on the short run. In other words, I think that there are certain lessons to be learned from some events that are more probable in the near future with respect to creating some chaos, because, frankly, we as a human race, in my own opinion, have severely been deficient in two specific areas. Number one is respect for life. And I don't mind telling you that sometimes I'm appalled by the people I hear talking about nuking so-and-so or nuking certain countries or eliminating certain ethnic or racial groups. And it just blows my mind that of all the years that and experiences and lifetimes that we've had, that apparently we still haven't gotten the picture that there's only one race on this planet. It's the human race. And we've got enough issues, frankly, I guess, that people aren't really aware of, but we've got enough issues with negative ETs and all kinds of stuff. But we're too busy fighting among ourselves. And I don't know, there seems to be this prolonged history of repeated destruction, war, etc., and frankly, most of that manipulated by certain individuals behind the scenes that make things look one way, but in reality, they're all pre-programmed and planned. And I think some of this breaking down of the system in the long run will have at least a beneficial effect from respect to some of these people losing their power grip. And the other connection to that is the concept that as a humanity, we've always been taught, I guess through the media or through film or through whatever, that there's always a struggle between dark and light, and the way to overcome the dark is to go against it and defeat it and overwhelm it. And frankly, I don't think that we're in a position, frankly, to overwhelm dark at this point, nor do I think it's the ideal or optimum plan. If you really understand the extraterrestrial teachings, what you'll come to find is that thought does create, and that our thoughts, beliefs, and definitions do create our outer circumstance. And it's one of the reasons why there's such a focus on controlling our thoughts, beliefs, and definitions and programming the human race, because if enough people have positive creative thoughts, you're going to create a positive creative outer experience. And when you go against negative energy, you only perpetuate its existence. So even if you could overpower the dark, it's not going to solve the ultimate problem. The only way that things really get changed is to create a positive image of it. And it, focusing on negative is just wasted energy. And I think this is one of the key things that has to come out. And our current situation, I view as sort of analogous to a cocoon and a butterfly, that there's maybe only going to be a few of those beautiful souls out there that are creating this positive image of the butterfly that are in that cocoon. But when that butterfly flies off, it's going to be amazing. And I think that humanity is coming to a point where there's going to be clearly a whole new activated and active DNA, more awareness, more use of the consciousness of our minds, and there'll be a new human being coming about in the very near future. In fact, we are already on the edge of total immunity from disease. In fact, one of the things that I purport at Healing the Known and the Unknown, and for those who want to find that, it's at maxwellgreensite.com. At maxwellgreensite.com, I make the connection between healing and disease, and actually take a person all the way up to and including the point of total immunity. And the total immunity comes from the more you're involved with love, unconditional love, which is more in alignment with your higher self. When you become more in alignment with gratitude, being appreciative for all the things in your life, and being compassionate towards the situations that are happening with individuals and the world at large, that those emotional components are the ones that are actually the immunity to disease. In other words, when we live at a level of those conditions, disease cannot exist because it can't exist at that vibrational level. And I've been told that from the very center of our galaxy now, there are these emotions of unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude being blasted to the earth. And the more you connect with that energy, the more that you will become immune from disease. Because like negative emotion is the cause of disease, the outer disease, those positive emotions are the cure. And it's just a positive emotion that vibrates at a frequency that eliminates the most negative in you. Somewhat similar to the way the mantras work. When you vibrate up, or like a tuning fork, a high vibration mantra, Hari Om, Om Shanti, all these types of East Indian mantras, they resonate at a high level, which typically eliminates the most negative thing in you. So my take on the disease issue and on the world situation is that regardless how it plays out, you're still left with the choices that you need to make on a daily basis. And putting yourself in a position of throwing a positive spin on all outer circumstances, keeping your peace, and keeping your perspective are the most important things that you can do. In fact, Bashar even goes into a lot of detail with respect to how you function with your higher self. I mean, a lot of people going around don't even know what their higher self is, don't even know that it's part of an integral whole of your higher self and your mind and or your brain and your rational thinking. In fact, Bashar made a blockbuster of a statement here about 3 or 4 months ago by saying that none of us really has had a creative thought, that all that creativity, inspiration, all that all comes from the higher self, that the rational mind is not capable of producing creative thought. And in fact, the inspiration and the creative nature of thought comes about through the higher self, and the brain is the mediator of that information, the translating form, and the receiver of that information, and the rational mind is the perceiver of what has happened. The rational mind is only capable of functioning, of perceiving what has happened. It is not creating anything, and unlike a lot of people out there that think that they're making their own creative decisions, I mean, comes to mind the movie A Beautiful Mind. Well, in A Beautiful Mind, this guy, he skipped all his classes and he was trying to come up with one unique idea, something that nobody else had thought of. Well, I challenge you, sit down and think of something nobody else has thought of. Even on this radio show, the information that's coming out here, 98% of it came from someplace else. Now, the information may come through certain channels and then shared with other channels, but how much of it is totally creatively unique? If you think about it, I don't take anything Bashar says just because he said it, but I'll tell you, I've been looking at his stuff for over 20 years, I can't find one single thing to disagree with. So it's probably true that all of our so-called creativity does come from the higher self. Now, the higher self exists just outside the space-time continuum. And as an integrated whole, we function through our higher selves and our brain and our rational thinking mind. And that's the integrated whole. And actually, Bashar will go on to say that we actually sometimes take on too much baggage. We're trying to do too much with our rational mind. Like, the idea is to connect more with your higher self and be more attuned to those intuitions and urges and sensings that the higher mind or higher self gives to us, because the rational mind just isn't capable of making, it doesn't see the road. The higher self sitting above the valley looking down and can tell when you're coming up to a plugged stream or a storm and can tell you go to the left, go to the right. The rational mind can't do this stuff. And he's basically saying that too many people are getting all stressed out and bummed out because things aren't going fast enough or this, that, and the other thing. And the reason is you're trying to do too much with the rational thinking mind. The best thing that you can do is come to situations and throw positive spins on them. That's the job of the rational mind. And being in alignment with your higher self. What tells you that you're in alignment with your higher self is your love and your compassion and your excitement. When things that, and that's with, with the condition that it just doesn't mean you go running after everything that, attracts you, but with some sort of integrity, we're involved in this. It's not just carte blanche, chase after stuff, but it's chasing after the things that you gut feeling is that you have a love and a compassion for and that excites you. Whenever you're in those states, tells you you're more in alignment with your higher self. When you're in a state of unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude, you're really in alignment with your higher self. So the more, and your higher self is obviously aligned with unconditional love. And unconditional love is what created the universe. Now, this is another one from Bashar. It's one that I personally have experienced as well, that the beauty of life to me is that we were all created from unconditional love. And the universe supports you in all your beliefs, even the belief that you're not loved. It supports you in your beliefs. If you really believe it, it is. And that's the beauty of life, is that we need to become aware of what we truly believe, because thought creates. If there's nothing else that you ever learn on a spiritual journey, it's that belief is everything. What you believe is. What you believe is what you're going to experience. You have to spend time on your beliefs and your belief system. And to be totally on a very technical level, our personality structure was created at, a beta level of thought, of brain vibration. And some of the programming that we received through television and other forms of, of influence, are at a deeper level than the basic personality. So I've stated this on my e-books at MaxwellGreenSight.com, that if you're going to spend 30 or 40 hours a week watching television, good luck on anything, because you're being reprogrammed, and not in a positive way. So if you want to do your own programming, you got to cut the cord here on that stuff. The frequency of television lowers the frequency of the immune system. This is not a positive thing. And there are many, many positive approaches out there for increasing the power of the immune system. One of the reasons, as I mentioned at the top of the show, that we have gotten involved at ET Yoga with strengthening the immune system is because you're going to need it. I mean, things are coming up around the corner that you're going to need as positive immune system as totally possible. And clearly one of the keys to that is a thorough detoxification. That means from head to colon. We've recommended many, many times on the show the American Botanical Pharmacy in California, Dr. Schultz's work. That's American Botanical Pharmacy, Dr. Schultz's. Bashar has recommended them as well. All the materials I've studied from Bashar, he's only recommended about five things. I don't know if I can remember them all, but I think the American Botanical Pharmacy was clearly one. Cosmic Voyage, the book, he says, was done by, we know the authors were done through remote viewing. He says that book's about 95% accurate. So if you want to know about some of the stuff that you don't see printed anywhere else, that's a good book to get involved with. Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, he's recommended those two books with respect to our lifetimes and experiences in between lifetimes. And can I come up with a fifth one? Well, I'm not certain, but the bottom line is that Bashar doesn't recommend too many things, and clearly detoxification, Dr. Schultz and Bashar concur that about 85% of all health issues disappear with thorough detoxification. And the reason being that all these chemicals and the sprays, the fluorides in the water, all these things get stuck in our cells in a certain way that affects the immune system. And unless we eliminate them, then our immune systems don't function at optimum. And Bashar even goes as far as to say with the proper nutrients, and they do sell proper nutrients there at the American Botanical Pharmacy as well, called superfood, that with the proper nutrients, 99.9% of disease is curable. And this is just a way for you to get more self-sufficient and away from the medical system. And no offense to the people that are involved with medical who do a lot of wonderful things and perform amazing operations, but the basic root of the medical system, frankly, is more about money than your health. I mean, you're not worth much if healthy. You're worth a great deal sick. And trillions of dollars a year are being paid into the medical system and all some of these brutal surgeries and treatments that are, frankly, not effective in the least. That people get sucked into because they've given their power away to the medical establishment. And this brings up another issue, and that is that people that want to protect you, frankly, create you as a victim. And this idea of taking 100% responsibility for your life, what that really means is that you're the one that's in control and in power. But most of us have given our power away to organizations and institutions that are supposedly designed to protect us. And we think that somehow these people are experts that we give our power to, but and frankly, they're not. And in many cases, have a very negative influence and impact on our lives because we've been taught to believe that most of these people are, and even if they were well-intentioned, the people that license them and the people that are behind them have a very negative intentions towards you. And when you give your power away, you can expect to be abused. And that's just the fact of life. So the more self-sufficient you can be, the more you take responsibility for creating your own life, the more you take responsibility for creating your own health, the better off you're going to be as a person. And if you're listening to ET Yoga, one of the things that I found was important when I first did the e-books at themaxwellgreensite.com was the fact that I know that many people are so busy making a living, they don't have thousands and thousands of hours to research and find topics on the internet that make an integrated whole or make sense of a lot of this information. So at that site, what I've done is I've broken it up into two parts. One is sort of the mental conditioning or the ideas that you need to have and how to work on the mental side of things. And second, how you enhance the body's immune system. And we can talk about all things like monoatomics and how this discovery is basically the elixir of life and how it's found in a lot of natural foods. And I also, in my e-books, have about 79 pages of highly condensed information, a lot of like what you've heard tonight on ET Yoga. If you like what you heard tonight on ET Yoga, go and get the ebook because it's 79 pages of condensed information from extraterrestrials, ancient yogic masters, a lot of the stuff I talk about on the radio. But like business in the modern world, there's certain things that, you know, you keep because you want people to buy them because you need to live. So go to the site, get into it. You're going to find that you can find out all the information, and I link you to about 150 other pages of information. So like right here as I'm doing this show tonight, I have my book, and it's got my 79 pages, and it's got my links to another 150 pages of people and ideas that, to me, make a complete whole out of the idea of self-empowerment and increasing your immune system. And if you've got health issues, you know, how much do you spend on them? Just the pills alone. Well, here's an ebook for $99 that you can have. Plus, at the site, I also give free information, downloads about people in abusive relationships, and it's applicable to any abusive relationship. I give free downloads on the 10 key concepts for self-empowerment that are free. Go to the site and download them. And I've also give the most important ET yoga shows, in my opinion, with respect to techniques, especially stuff like the XYZ meditation from Bashar. Now, we've done this twice on the show. For those who have done it, I mean, I get emails that say that it's the strongest thing that people have ever done with respect to a meditation. The XYZ extraterrestrial meditation is available on the show, on my website for, I think it's $19.95. So if you want your own copy of my take on how to do the XYZ meditation, that's from extraterrestrial, that's from Bashar, there it is. And you'll find that what you need to know, not everything there is to know, but what you need to know is definitely on that site. And I know that in the upcoming weeks, one of the things we didn't get around to tonight because I've been sort of in a flow here of passing on information. We're going to be talking more about more of Bashar's stuff, about fundamentals, about riding the wave of chaos, because I believe that every situation ultimately serves to further our own personal growth. It may not look that way from an economic point of view, I also truly believe when I was listening to Sri Ramka and Kirara they talked about some new diseases that might be upcoming. And for those who want to boost their immune system, I've been pointing fingers at different areas and places to get that information. One of those are the Egyptian healing rods that Sri Ramka and Kirara are involved with. I use them daily. 10 minutes of those is like doing an hour and a half of acupuncture. That's been scientifically proven through Russian research. At Atlantean Healing Technologies, that's Earl B. Hall's site. He's got the Metatron tape for frequency and healing. They've also are involved with the Trinity Table and the Atlantean Healing Chambers. The American Botanical Pharmacy with respect to their detoxification, and that's brain to colon stuff that you can get there at reasonable prices, and as well the MaxwellGreenSite.com, which lists and points you in lots of directions and gives you the information that you need to really maximize the immune system and get yourself freed up from the medical establishment. At this point in time, I would just like to thank those people who have been emailing me. And if you are interested in, didn't get a chance to ask a question tonight over some of the material that was covered, I ask you to email me at paperfungo, that's PAPERFUNGO, at yahoo.ca. So you can email me questions at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And, again, the website is called Healing the Known and the Unknown, which deals with self-empowerment and maximizing the immune system, is at MaxwellGreenSite.com. That's Maxwell as in Maxwell House Coffee, green as in the color, .com. I'd also like to mention that typically with the ET Yoga Show that I always like to mention at the end of the show that my sincere wishes for your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I hope to have you tune in again next week when we'll be talking about some of the fundamentals from Bashar, as well as riding the waves of chaos. All the best and good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.